This is the Breaker.News podcast for the week of May 22nd, 2022. I'm Bob Mackin, publisher of the Breaker.News and host of the Breaker.News podcast. Welcome to edition number 239. The Breaker is your source for news, opinion, and analysis about British Columbia issues, institutions, and influencers. Later, I'll tell you how you can support the Breaker. On this edition, headlines from the Pacific Rim and the Pacific Northwest, the Is It Just Me commentary, I award a virtual Nanaimo bar to a difference maker, and the big deal feature. The former clerk of the BC legislature was found guilty of fraud and breach of public trust. Relive how the Craig James scandal at the BC legislature started. But first, is it just me? Is it just me, or is the time for mourning over and the time for justice now? I'm talking about the reports throughout 2021 from First Nations across the country that began with the Tkamloops in British Columbia. They said on May 27, 2021, that they found the remains of 215 children near a former Catholic-operated Indian residential school. The ground-penetrating radar specialist said 2 months later that they found 200 signals that could be human remains. The area should have been declared a crime scene immediately, with all the equipment and all the experts necessary to determine if any child had died of murder. There are survivors of the school. There may still be people alive who work there, witnesses, abusers, but they're not getting any younger. There will be pain and there will be sorrow for the Tkamloops and the other First Nations. They need to find justice. They need to dig for answers this summer. Because we need to know, who were the children? And who were the adults who put them there? What do you think? Email Bob at thebreaker.news. This is the Big Deal feature on the Breaker.News podcast. 3 years to the week that Craig James retired in disgrace from the BC legislature, the former BC Liberal appointed clerk was found guilty of fraud and breach of public trust in BC Supreme Court. Associate Chief Justice Heather Holmes ruled on May 19th that James spent $1,900 of taxpayers' money on suits and dress shirts from upscale boutiques for his own personal use. Holmes said that James, quote, dishonestly described them as for chamber attire when he knew they were not, and received reimbursement on that false basis. His premise was a dishonest one to benefit himself. End quote. Holmes acquitted James on other fraud and breach of trust charges for a $258,000 retirement allowance and a $13,000 wood splitter and trailer combo. She said the special prosecutors did not prove their case on those charges beyond a reasonable doubt. But that didn't mean that James had done no wrong. Holmes said James was in conflict of interest and not really entitled to the retirement allowance. She also said that his purchases were questionable and he had a poor attitude toward his responsibilities as the de facto CEO of the legislature. The date for James's sentencing is to be announced. Holmes's verdict was a major milestone in the corruption scandal at the BC legislature, which dominated BC news at the end of 2018 and the start of 2019. We would never have known without the efforts of Speaker Darrell Plekis and his Chief of Staff Alan Mullen. They took evidence to the RCMP but faced many obstacles, including a firestorm of undeserved criticism from the BC Liberal opposition and members of the press gallery. Here are some of the highlights of how we got here. November 20th, 2018, in the British Columbia Legislature, drama and history. Solicitor General and NDP Government House Leader Mike Farnworth rose at 11:06 a.m. to deliver a bombshell about the Clerk of the House and the Sergeant at Arms and ask for a motion to suspend them both immediately and indefinitely.
Thank you. Madam Clerk, Government House Leader.
Thank you, Honorable Speaker. By leave, I move that Mr. Craig James, Clerk of the Legislative Assembly, and Mr. Gary Lenz, Sergeant-at-Arms, are placed on administrative leave with pay and benefits effective immediately. During the period of administrative leave, and as a consequence of an outstanding investigation, Mr. James and Mr. Lenz must not access Legislative Assembly network equipment, systems, or services I must not be present within any building that is part of the legislative precinct.
Reporters caught up with Clerk Craig James as he was escorted from his office and the grounds of the legislature.
Do you have any idea what this is pertaining to?
No, I don't. And neither does the sergeant at arms.
It's completely baffling to everyone in the building.
I think we have a right to know what it is.
Premier John Horgan was later asked at a press conference how this happened.
I was briefed by Mike Farnworth. He had been in consultation with the House leaders of the other two parties in the legislature, as well as officials in the Speaker's office. The first I heard about it was yesterday. It was shocking, to be sure. I am certainly very concerned that whatever investigation is underway is completed as quickly as possible for the individuals involved, but also for our institution.
Ellen Mullen, a special advisor to Speaker Darrell Plekis, confirmed that there was a police investigation.
I can confirm that there has been a special prosecutor assigned. I can confirm that there is an active and ongoing criminal investigation by the RCMP.
What kind of investigation is it?
It is an ongoing and active criminal investigation. It would be inappropriate at this time to say any more because we do not want to jeopardize any investigation that the RCMP have ongoing. As far as I know, it is absolutely unprecedented. And if I can be frank, I mean, it's disturbing. It's disruptive.
Reporters pounced on Darrell Plekis, who vowed to set the record straight about what went on.
Did you ask for Alan Mullen to become the sergeant at arms?
Well, I'm not sure you have the correct story.
So what's the correct story?
I'm not going to comment on that now.
Why not?
I'm sure you will find it interesting what I have to say this afternoon.
Will you be making the statement yourself?
I will be making a statement.
You'll make yourself available to us later?
Yes.
Suspended BC Legislature Clerk Craig James and Sergeant at Arms Gary Lenz hired lawyers from the Faskin Law Firm in downtown Vancouver. They also hired a crisis communications firm called Peak Communicators. They appeared before a news conference in Vancouver on November 26th, emphasizing their innocence and demanding their reinstatement amid an RCMP investigation with two special prosecutors.
I have been deeply impacted by what has occurred, as has my wife, my family, friends and relatives. I have received calls from others I do not even know who have offered their support. The damage to my reputation is irreparable. The healing can only begin with my return to work.
Your questions, please, one at a time. Yes,
sir. Hi, Sinjin with CTV. Gentlemen, whenever you have a fight with someone, in this case, the investigator, you always start racking your brains. What could I have done? What might it have been? What do you think it might have been? What went through your mind? What do you think it could have been?
I have no idea.
There was no money moved that shouldn't have been moved?
None at all. I have established processes in the Legislative Assembly that are essentially bulletproof. We have an executive committee, we have an audit working group, which I formed. The audit working group consists of a former auditor general and a controller general for the province who attends that meeting. I established the finance and audit committee, which would receive reports and engage in discussions on all kinds of financial issues. And of course, there's a statutory Legislative Assembly Management Committee consisting of senior House leadership.
In a letter to House leaders, Speaker Darrell Plekis said James and Lenz are entitled to the presumption of innocence in any criminal process, but the reality of an active criminal investigation concerning their activities as permanent officers of the legislature cannot be ignored by the House. The Legislative Assembly has a right to protect the integrity of the institution, Plekis said. Plekis also defended his right and responsibility to report concerns to police and to conduct his own due diligence. At that December 6th meeting, Darrell Plekis passionately defended his due diligence and his decision to call the RCMP. He called for a separate forensic audit and vowed to quit as Speaker if taxpayers of BC are not outraged. Here are highlights of that very animated meeting where Liberal House Leader Mary Polak quizzed Plekis about the situation.
Whether one calls it an investigation or an inquiry, the efforts undertaken by the Speaker and his advisor to look into his concerns must have happened under some authority. And if not under the authority of the Legislative Procedure Review Act, then under what authority?
I have the authority to the extent that I'm responsible overall for security. I also have a duty to taxpayers to make sure if I ever see something that I think is inappropriate in terms of spending, financial matters, that I pursue that with due diligence. There would not be a taxpayer in this province who wouldn't want me to do that. They would also want me to pay attention to the workplace environment and to make sure that people are treated fairly, et cetera, et cetera. And I can tell every single taxpayer out there, take it to the bank. I will be doing that every time. I will be doing due diligence. Call it investigation, call it what you will. I will be doing that for every taxpayer.
Months after the scandal blew up, BC Liberal leader Andrew Wilkinson continued to focus on Plekis and Mullen in 2019 interviews with Global TV and the Van Keller podcast.
This witch hunt in the legislature that's totally unnecessary, and if there's to be any kind of investigation or revision activity in the legislature, the Premier's actually correct. It should be run by the management committee, not in the dead of night by the Speaker with his sidekick.
He took a trip to London to buy a hat, all business class, tens of thousands of dollars.
Is that accurate?
Yes, just to buy a hat? Accurate. Okay. That's entirely accurate.
No, it was not accurate. In October 2019, Sergeant-at-Arms Gary Lenz also retired in disgrace. Lenz was found to have violated the BC Police Act and breached his oath. After the snap election in fall 2020, after a new government had been sworn in and Plekis was no longer Speaker, Craig James was charged with fraud and breach of trust. Gary Lenz did not face criminal charges. Journalism professor Sean Holman joined me on the podcast in December 2020 after the charges were announced. The disgraced former clerk of British Columbia's Legislative Assembly has been charged criminally. Craig James appeared in Victoria Provincial Court December 18th to face four counts of breach of trust and two counts of fraud over $5,000. His next court date is January 27th. The charges come after more than 2 years of an RCMP investigation. They were approved by Special Prosecutors David Butcher and Brock Martland. It is a vindication for Darrell Plekis, who was the 39th Speaker of the BC Legislature, and his Chief of Staff, Alan Mullen. They called in the RCMP, but faced a torrent of criticism from members of the BC Legislative Press Gallery after James and Sergeant-at-Arms Gary Lenz were suspended on November 20th, 2018. Andrew Weaver, who was the leader of the BC Greens at the time, tweeted, "There are many members of the BC Legislative Press Gallery and past and present House leaders who owe a sincere and public apology to Mullen and Plekis. Thank you, Darrell and Alan, for providing a beacon of ethical leadership." Sean Holman is a professor of journalism at Mount Royal University in Calgary. He is a former member of the Victoria Press Gallery. He joins me on the Breaker.News podcast. I asked Sean Holman if he agreed with Weaver's assessment.
I'm not sure necessarily whether I would be looking for an apology. What instead I would really like to see, that I have yet to see, is some kind of public explanation and self-reflection for what happened. Why were individuals so skeptical about what Darrell Plekis and Alan Mullen had to say? Why was there not more credibility and credence given to the allegations that they were making? And why was there so much of an appearance of favoritism towards Craig James?
Coverage of the scandal of the BC legislature continues on next week's edition of the Breaker.News podcast. Now it's time on the Breaker.News podcast for Around the Rim. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Rim. In the Taiwan news, legislators from 32 countries and Canada sign up for Taiwan's WHA bid. A total of 1,500 parliamentarians signed a letter to the World Health Organization backing Taiwan's bid to attend the World Health Assembly. Taiwan has not been invited to the annual conference, this year scheduled for May 22nd to 28th in Geneva. The Formosa Club letter praised Taiwan for providing the world with a model for pandemic prevention, while noting that educational and business activities in Taiwan have never been seriously interrupted. Taiwan donated masks, vaccines, and equipment to 80 countries. in the Hong Kong Free Press, independent publisher rejected from taking part in Hong Kong Book Fair. Hillway Press, which was founded by a teacher who was injured in the 2019 protest and unrest, said it was not given a reason for its rejection, but that the annual book fair was a, quote, thermometer measuring the freedom of publishing in Hong Kong. During last year's book fair, Hillway Press attracted complaints about three books that Hong Kong Trade Development believed might be in breach of the Beijing-imposed national security law. In Kyoto news, man arrested for spending mistakenly sent 46 million yen in COVID funds. The sum, equal to $360,000, was subject to a computer fraud investigation. Sho Taguchi, a 24-year-old, spent all the money in several overseas internet casinos. Taguchi previously said that he was sorry for using the money and intended to repay it, but his lawyer said at a press conference that he was unlikely to be able to pay it back.
Time on the Breaker.News podcast for Cascadia Calling. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Northwest.
In the Oregonian, Oregon's rapidly growing COVID-19 wave expected to peak in June, new mask mandate unlikely. Over the past 4 weeks, test positivity has increased from 7% to 11.4%. COVID-19 cases more than doubled during that period, from a rolling 7-day average of 600 to 1,350 cases per day. And over the past month, COVID-19 hospitalizations statewide have increased from 110 to 251. Modeling from Oregon Health and Science University predicts that COVID-19 hospitalizations will peak at around 321, about a third of the peak, during the Delta and Omicron waves. By comparison, more than 3,600 cases were reported in BC from May 1st to 14th, and 143 people with COVID-19 died, an average of 10 per day. In King 5, Seattle, President of Iceland, the keynote speaker at Nordic Innovation Summit in Seattle. Gudni Johansson stopped by the National Nordic Museum in Ballard. He also visited Microsoft and Amazon and welcomed the addition of Sweden and Finland to NATO. In the Spokane Spokesman Review, Congress approves $40 billion in aid to Ukraine as bipartisan vote splits Northwest Republicans. All three Republicans who represent Washington in the House, Representatives Kathy McMorris Rogers of Spokane, Dan Newhouse of Sunnyside, and Jamie Herrera Butler of Battleground, voted for the additional aid to Ukraine. Mike Crapo, the top Republican on the Senate Finance Committee, was one of 11 GOP senators who opposed the legislation, but fellow Idaho Senator Jim Risch voted for the bill, along with 38 other Republicans. In Czech news, island municipalities prepare for Canada Day celebrations. The Campbell River Rotary Canada Day Parade is returning after taking a few years off due to the pandemic, and for the first time, the city of Langford is planning to host a Canada Day celebration at Starlight Stadium. Langford will also be holding celebrations for the city's 30th anniversary on July 2nd and 3rd. That's Cascadia Calling on this edition of the Breaker.News podcast.
Virtual Nanaimo Bar, brought to you by Spruce Hill Contracting.
Every week we end the Breaker.News podcast on a tasty note by awarding the goodness of a virtual Nanaimo Bar to people making a difference. A virtual version of the province's favorite dessert bar goes this week to Joe Keithley, the leader of punk rock legends DOA and a city councillor in Burnaby, BC. He is organizing the Rock Against Racism benefit concert in Vancouver on June 4th at the Rickshaw Theatre. Here is Joe Keithley.
I mean, racism has always been around, right? But I think, you know, when Donald Trump became president in 2016 and was enabling racist different stuff, I think I said to a friend of mine at the time, like, hey, did you think we'd be talking about the Ku Klux Klan in 2016? And that person went, no, I thought that was over with, right? But yeah, we've seen this whole rise of like the Proud Boys, the Aryan Nations, Ku Klux Klan, never rise up again. I mean, it never went away, but it's really grown exponentially in Western Europe, in Canada, United States, and I would guess probably down down under in Oz and New Zealand, right, and other places in the world. I mean, it's like, so basically the idea of this is that back in 1978-79, there was this movement called Rock Against Racism. And was, and if I recall correctly, that was a couple of years ago, so see how good my memory is here. It was in reaction to Eric Clapton, who's a giant rock star at the time, I guess he still is, and he was supporting Enoch Powell, who was a conservative MP in the British Parliament, who was very anti-black, like as in, you know, black people had no place in the UK, right? And so people got up, rose up and organized these concerts, Rock Against Racism, and to great effect. You know, it's obviously like in the UK, you'd have a lot of people involved with the reggae movement, rock movement, all that kind of stuff, and they did these great shows together. So we did one in Vancouver at the Smiling Buddha, of all places, right? That was the first one in Canada. I don't think there was that many, but it just made me think that, you know, hey, this is a pretty useful tool to educate people, make people think, and in this case, benefit some good groups.
In this case, you've got not only DOA, but a group of other acts that'll be performing. Who are those acts?
Yeah, okay. So one of them was Roots Roundup, which is like an old school reggae band. Friends of mine I've known for like, God, 40 years. So they've been around almost as long as DOA, right? They're just getting this close to serving two life sentences. I'm starting my third with DOA, right? So anyways, they're great. There's another group called the Karakata Afrobeat Group. I don't know them, but I thought it sounded pretty good. It was Mo. The guy I worked with on this Cold City Get-Together was Mo, the guy who runs the Rickshaw Theater in Vancouver. So he came up with some of these bands, and he also came up with another band called Buckman Co. And there's the China Syndrome, and there's the Asian Persuasion All-Stars. So we tried to look at, like, let's get, it's called Rock Against Racism, but it isn't just rock music. You got to take in all types. So you have Afrobeat, you have reggae, you have some other experimental kind of stuff, right? So, and I think that's the thing, because the big point here there, Bob, is I always thought why this thing always did work in the old days and can work again, is that in a fragmented time when there's so much hatred in the world, the one thing people relate to is music. Everybody loves music. So it's kind of like the unifying language of the world.
And finally, who benefits? Who will be receiving some of the proceeds from the ticket sales?
Yeah, we looked at a bunch of different groups, and this is like, Mo did the music stuff. I did the beneficiaries, I guess you could say. And I reached out to a bunch of people, and I wanted to go to grassroots organizations where I don't know how much money we're going to raise, you know, thousands, I would say, but it's, you know, not like big money, like $100,000 or anything like that. I hope we raise like 8 to 10 grand type thing, somewhere around there, and maybe more. So I wanted to have like grassroots organizations that represented like First Nations, for one thing, represented working with youth. I thought was like a really important aspect of it, because that's really where it all starts when you go into high school. That's where you learn all your stuff, and a lot of, you know, patterns for your life are go that way. So anyways, the groups are Nation Skate Youth, which is a metro area thing that deals with the First Nations youth. There's the South Murray Metro Club, which is a sports club in my hometown. And they get kids in from East Van and Burnaby, and they keep the fees purposely really low, so kids are disadvantaged. They can still play baseball, soccer, basketball, that type of thing. There's the Urban Native Youth Association, again, dealing with younger First Nations. This is a really interesting one, too, the Aboriginal Mothers Center. I thought that when somebody suggested that to me, I thought I phoned them up, talked to them. And so what is it? It's single First Nations mothers. So there's a group that needs help. And then there's the Karakata African Village, which is related to the band, and that's like a farm out in Mission where the young people of African descent are learning to farm and grow some traditional crops that they would, maybe not all the ones would have back in Africa, obviously, because we're in a different climate, but some of the, you know, learning farming techniques and learning off the land.
That was Joe Keithley. For more information on the June 4th Rock Against Racism benefit, go to rickshawtheater.com or suddendeath.com. You can nominate someone for a virtual Nanaimo bar. Send me an email to bob@thebreaker.news. Spruce Hill Contracting, custom homes and renovations. Find more information at sprucehill.ca. That's it for the Breaker.News podcast for the week of May 22nd, 2022. I'm Bob Mackin. Thanks for joining me. Did you know that on the 22nd of May in 1987, New Zealand hosted the first Rugby World Cup, and they kicked off with an Auckland match versus Italy? The All Blacks eventually won the final in Eden Park over France, and they also won in 2011 and 2015. Now you know. Send me your feedback. Send me your story ideas to bob@thebreaker.news. Bookmark thebreaker.news. You can also find us at thebreaker.ca. Sign up for the email newsletter and get updates to your inbox. For news as it happens, follow The Breaker News on Twitter and visit thebreaker.news on Facebook. You can support The Breaker for as little as $2 a month. For more information, go to patreon.com/thebreakernews. That's patreon.com/thebreakernews. Until next week.